Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heat, and Cooling and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, joins us now, as he always does at noon on a Wednesday. Appreciate you for joining us, Hutton. But we are breaking down Jeremy Fowler's appearance on SportsCenter when he said a wild card team for Lamar Jackson could potentially be the Tennessee Titans. Do you see any way the Titans would pursue Lamar?
I would be surprised, Caroline. Like, I think that we're looking, as a media group, I'm lumping everyone in here, we immediately go to fit. This offense here would fit Lamar Jackson. I don't think there's an offer, though, that Baltimore's not going to match, but I also would not hesitate to negotiate. And that's the big surprise to me with Lamar Jackson and the rest of the NFL. The Titans can be absolutely included in this. They could cut Tannehill right now and save $18 million on the cap. I'm not saying that they automatically get Lamar Jackson, but there's the ability for teams to make room. And for a league and owners and general managers and head coaches that try to preach this offseason mentality of turning over every stone and looking under every nook and cranny to make our team better, I'm really surprised how quickly they jumped out to tell Rappaport and Schefter within an hour or two that they weren't interested in Lamar Jackson whenever he was available as a non-exclusive franchise player, when this never happens for former MVPs. And we're in the middle of an offseason where two MVPs at quarterback are available. There's one suitor for Aaron Rodgers, and right now there's one suitor for Lamar Jackson. One's going to be playing for a different team. The other one's not. And I'm really surprised, based on the fact that, again, both of those quarterbacks are significantly better than the majority of the league's quarterbacks right now.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Why do you think that is, both with Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson, and considering how quarterback hungry this league is?
I think part of it, Caroline, on behalf of Lamar Jackson, is right now he needs an agent. This is the first time I've really felt that way. I think he's played this last 2 years really well, considering he has not had representation, because he hasn't taken the $111 million guarantee that they gave him a year and a half ago, and the $133 million guarantee right before the season started, and then he cut off all discussion about it whenever the season got rolling. And then Baltimore now has the advantage, because I think the assumption was, I was in this camp, well, they'll tag him twice and he'll get $85 to $90 million guaranteed on the quarterback tag line over 2 years. He's basically going to get what Kirk Cousins received in Minnesota on the first 3 years of his deal, only in two. And then he's a unrestricted free agent at the age of 28 after those two tags. But what Baltimore has done with the non-exclusive tag is they've treated him like the Titans treated Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. We're not going to tender you. We're going to give you the non-exclusive tag. Have at it. You're going to represent yourself. Have at it. And if you bring an offer back to us, great. If not, we're going to get you playing for $24 million, or you're going to hold out and get fined for it. So this is where I think Lamar, who doesn't talk to the media at all, there's no sources with Lamar Jackson. All the sources are with the Ravens. This is where the agent truly benefits a player, when we're kind of in the no man's land of the off season and the quarterback is grasping at straws, having random non-representatives of the NFLPA say that he's open for business and he wants out. Well, if you want out, play the cards right. And I think the way to do that right now is with an agent.
Yeah, you are, I can see the road you're traveling down, Hutt, and it, you know, whether I think he's possibly at a point, Lamar, that it's almost, and, you know, I think as humans we are this way. When we're so dug in on mm-hmm. one stance, that it's hard for us, even if we see what's in front of us and we see what everyone else is saying, it's hard for us to then backpedal. He probably see, and I think he started to backpedal a little bit, he probably saw way before the season ended that Deshaun Watson contract isn't attainable. It's not feasible. No team is doing that contract. So he sort of, in a sense, backed off of that from what we understand. But now he wants more than Kyler Murray, which, okay, I can understand that. But the agent part, I think he's put himself possibly in a corner of, okay, I chose not to go with an agent, and I've dug myself in. Now I may have to get an agent, and I really don't want to because I don't want everyone saying, see, I told you so.
Right. But I would also say that Lamar Jackson represents every NFL player, and not every player. Let me back this up. He represents every quarterback right now for the future because the owners have dug in and said they're not going to give the Deshaun Watson contract again. You know, they're really upset with Haslam. But some of these owners have the money to do so. And if you look around, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are eligible for extensions right now. You mentioned Kyler Murray. I believe he's making this upcoming season in salary, just money paid to him, $46 million. Above him only exists two quarterbacks, Rodgers and Wilson. And what Lamar was offered, at least reported to be offered, was $133 million with 68% of that money. It was more than 133. It was 133 guaranteed is what he was offered. That was 68% of the total money that would have been reported in this massive deal with Baltimore, which is what, you know, the team wants to act like is massive. But I was listening to your show early in the week, Mace, where you said your contract with the Titans, 5 years, $3 million guaranteed, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, all this comes down, he's representing the QBs for the future. And I have not been one of those that is siding with the owners saying the Watson contract is so dumb that another quarterback doesn't buy in and deserve that. I don't think Watson did, but I think a guy like Lamar Jackson, who's done the exact opposite of Deshaun Watson in terms of his career path on and off the field, where he has got an MVP and he's got a team that has shaped an offense around him, and he's winning games. Watson's great, but his team won four games last time he played in Houston. I look at this and say, if Burrow and Herbert aren't going to dig in Cincinnati and L.A., you can argue maybe they don't have the ownership to pay the guaranteed money. Bisciotti's got it. And if you're an NFL player right now and you're staring at a NFLPA representative and you see the TV money and you see your share and then you see the share of what you're getting at the gate and in parking, which is zero – concessions, zero. I don't know why you're not rooting for the fully guaranteed money for one of the top 10 players in the NFL. I don't hear that enough. And I think if you want change in terms of pay compared to what you're getting in the NBA and Major League Baseball, right now you're in an era where you have the best quarterbacks coming up with contracts. And then you have some other restructurings if these guys get that type of money. But honestly, it's tough to turn down $150 million plus, and I wouldn't turn it down either, despite the money on paper looking like $300 to $400 million.
We'll stick around with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025, 1063 The Game. Hey, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360 is with us.
Now, Hutt, I was just talking to the gang here off air, and I don't know if you remember this. This had to happen like in the mid-'80s, late-'80s, 90s, somewhere around there, where these, I think it was like five of the top quarterbacks were all represented by the same agency or agent, and sort of they were working out deals based upon that. And, you know, if
used
one
to
guy,
be Tom Condon that did all those deals, right?
Absolutely. So And I bring that up to say this because, I you know, what you were saying toward the end, like when you're talking about Joe Burrow and these other quarterbacks that came out in that class, eventually what are they going to get? They're going to start to set the market, push Deshaun Watson to the side. These quarterbacks now, and you're right, the guaranteed money, everyone, I think, as a player, should be on the side of Lamar Jackson, because what ultimately he gets sets the market, I believe, not only for the quarterbacks, but it sets the market for those top tier, even the sort of mid tier players in regards to, you know, guarantee money. And if you can get a Lamar Jackson getting guaranteed money, then you get a Joe Burrow getting guaranteed money, and then so forth and so on. You're talking about these quarterbacks that have negotiated, whether through their agents or in Lamar case by himself, their guaranteed money throughout their whole contract. I don't understand why players aren't backing them in a sense, because what they do, it's a trickle-down effect to me, I believe.
No doubt. I mean, and look, not every team can do this.
Exactly.
A lot of them are strapped with whatever they've got currently under the guaranteed money and what it would cost to get rid of the quarterback they have, right? That, like the Titans last year with Tannehill. So not every team qualifies as eligible currently, but some do. And Mace, I'll be blunt with you. I don't know what Demoris Smith does for the NFLPA. Don't know. And other than just mention that they're investigating collusion, but I don't know where any of that goes. He's available whenever the negotiations come up for their collective bargaining agreement. And then I don't hear from him. I don't see him, or the decision from the Browns to sign Watson. That's a tough one to back, right? Mm-hmm. Based on what had gone on the last year and a half for NFLPA or the NFL. I understand why you don't come out publicly, you know, raving and throwing a parade down the street like you're on Bourbon Street, you know, with all the bells and whistles going off. But in this case, with the what we're about to see, are the best quarterbacks not get the type of deal that Watson just received, and not even close to it? Like, again, 68% of the money that would be on paper is guaranteed to Lamar Jackson, compared to 100 for Watson. And 68% is a lot. I mean, it was a lot of guaranteed money. It would have paid him roughly $50 million a year, which would put him in the Aaron Rodgers status. But again, like if you're dug in like he is, where do you decide to draw the line? And at what point do you just say, hey, it's time to pony up and get an agent and pay the 3% or whatever it is? I just don't know why we've reached the point of, well, Baltimore's just going to match this, so there's no reason to call the guy. I disagree. I if anything, I would want Baltimore to spend more money and eat up their cap if they're going to match it. So I'm going to raise the price a little bit on the quarterback they're going to have for a few years.
But is it worth the time and energy when you know they're just going to match it anyway?
Well,
I've seen that happen in the NHL a bunch of times. Where you do all
that's
the work.
Fair.
The Philadelphia Flyers put a lot of time and energy. What can we do? The Predators will never match this if we put this in there for Shea Weber. Here you go. And the Predators said, okay, we got it. We matched it. Thanks.
No doubt. But in the spot of Shea Weber, though, I didn't think the Preds would match that deal.
They did make it tough because it was a ridiculously high deal. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and they matched it.
And the deal was still going, by the way. Still going.
And
got four more years on it.
and no doubt. No doubt.
15-year deal.
Bobby Bonilla.
So, yes, but exactly. Willie, at least in this case, you're negotiating with the guy one-on-one, at least presumably. Who knows? It may be St. Omni or whoever's not allowed to represent Tunsil but does anyway. Maybe that guy. But point being, Willie, I would at least pick up the phone whenever they're currently, you know, they're sending scouts out to watch Cam Newton throw. Like, at least pick up the phone and call Lamar Jackson. I guess that's where I'm coming from on it.
I just think the Ravens are way too smart to let him.
They've done. They've played this very well.
They know the market. They know.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. He didn't travel to Cincinnati for that playoff game, and the locker room immediately backed him post game, and then locker cleanout day, and then you had Harbaugh and DaCosta give the 200%. He's going to be here. We want him here. I mean, they have played this very well. And then they slapped the non-exclusive tag on him, where at minimum, they're paying him 20 or 33 million, something like that, on the non-exclusive instead of 45 guaranteed. And if he makes more than that, well, 45 to 50 is what they've already offered. So they're going to pay him what they've already offered. And right now they're going to pay considerably less, and they still end up with another option next year for a quarterback that's been hurt to finish the last two seasons. That's where they're coming from on it. And I don't disagree with how they've played it. I just don't know how 31 other teams have just completely moved on within an hour or two of this coming to light whenever they announced this.
Jonathan Hutton with us. So, Hutt, let's switch to the other big thing that's going to be out there. This story with Jackson and this story with Kevin Byard aren't going anywhere for a while. So let's fast forward. I mean, here we are. March isn't even over yet. June 1st is the date, right? That's when the contract changes. So with Byard, if they can't work something out on June 1st, what happens?
I mean,
they have to cut him, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you let it get to that point if you're not willing to trade him during the draft. Because they would only save, correct me if I'm wrong here, they're only going to save about $6 million on the cap, right? I don't know why.
Before June 1st, you're saying.
Before June 1st, yeah. So I don't know why you would go down that path with a player who has done nothing but earn it, that has stood at the locker and answered every question on behalf of the organization. I mean, Byard spoke more on the firing of John Robinson than the organization did. I don't know why you would go down this path and kick this can. And I think Byard's done a good job by saying, no, I'm not taking a pay cut, and I don't want to be traded either. Teron had that out, and I agree with him. I don't know how here's the thing for Derek. Mm-hmm. How do you make this right if you're the Titans now? If you do want to keep him, but you need him to take a pay cut. And
That's the question.
I believe
how do you work
if you
it
went
out?
To the player, like the quarterbacks, for instance, when you go to the quarterback for a restructure, you tell them your plan and why you're doing it, and then you get some money up front by restructuring, right? You get more millions in the bank now, and you count less against the cap now. It doesn't seem like that they went to him with some grand plan other than, hey, we really want to save some money and, you know, find some other bargain deals down the road. I think if you're going after the quarterback, if you're going to try to break the bank and do something big, players, for the most part, are on board with that if they want to win, and Byard does. Mm-hmm. And they also get more money up front on the new restructure as they continue to help the team on the cap.
I think a way you can help, because those, to me, they're two different scenarios. Because I think with the quarterback, you're more so inclined to, especially if he's playing at a high level, and we know the quarterback is the most important position on the field, they're more inclined to kick the can down the road with the quarterback because they feel, hey, listen, you know, if we don't have this guy, then we go from being, you know, a playoff team to not being a playoff team. I think in Byard's situation, they don't believe that, okay, if we ask him to take a pay cut and he doesn't take a pay cut, and say we want to release him or trade him, I don't think they, in their mind, believe, okay, we're a playoff team, and then we lose Byard, and now we're not a playoff team. I don't know if the Titans or any other team looks at a safety in that fashion. Now, if you want to help the player and he doesn't want to take a pay cut, you release him early enough that he can go find another team where he can get the money that he was owed from the other team that first year, whether it be he may not get $13 million or $14 million in contract money for that year, but he may get $7 to sign and $7 for that year, and that equals up to the $14 million he would have made here in Nashville. If you want to help the player, that's what you do. You allow him to go get as much money as he possibly can early enough before everyone else starts to get cut. I think that's – we may not like it, and initially you may not like it as a player, but once you get out on that market and you know you're the only one on the market and you're still playing at a high level, you're going to get the most money because no one else is out there that is capable of playing the way you play.
Willie, and I love the answer, Mace, but Willie, here's how I read what they're doing. First off, they've got to sign Simmons, okay? That still is out there.
What's our ballpark of what the cap hit will be? You have to sort of budget. I mean, I guess you could set it so the cap hit this year isn't that huge, and you could, right? You could set it so the cap hits a little later. Mm-hmm. I would think that's got to be in this equation because they only have $6 million against the cap as we sit here right now.
Right. Yeah. So up front with the signing bonus and all the guaranteed money, you put that away in escrow, right? And again, it all circles back, I think, to a lot of the cash on hand. You have to have a minimum of in your bankroll of cash on hand just to, on an annual basis as a team. So it's not like they don't have enough money to operate. They certainly don't based on the stadium they're about to build. But I read it this way. They need to sign Jeffrey Simmons. And I think it's also a signal of the easiest guy to restructure right now is Ryan Tannehill. Or you cut him and you save $18 million immediately. But the reality is, I think I read it as they, to win, right now they keep Henry and Tannehill and they just eat the contracts this year because restructuring or any adjustments would just cost them potential cap space in the future. And if you're going to move on from these guys a year from now, you don't want to be handcuffed by their contracts after this year, but you do want Kevin Byard on your roster after this year. So you try to get him to take a pay cut and then restructure to keep him around. They have very little commitment to Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill after 2023. They have commitment.
This is
to
where
Kevin
you can
Byard.
Bite the bullet on those two. For
you,
sure.
You bite the bullet with two guys that can help you win now or help you stay competitive now. And Byard is a part of your plan beyond this season as you begin to retool and rebuild the roster in this new Rand Carthon era where they are. And this is all, by the way, this is all necessitated by the fact that they have drafted so bad and they carry currently very few rookie contracts. This is the shape
they're
in. That
have any meat to them, that have a lot of value to them. They've got right. guys that are going to be on there, mm-hmm. but are they getting a lot of bang for that? That's a really good point.
Are you getting the production? And they paid Byard for his production because he was a successful draft pick. He's one of the few. And now they're going to him to take a trying to get him to take a pay cut in order to necessitate what they're trying to do to win now, but also build for the future. And it's just not lining up. And I don't blame Byard for saying no.
Okay, here's the question that I don't think we can know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. Do you think with the collaborative in that building, they know what they want to do? Or do you think there's an internal debate on which direction to go with all of these dilemmas they have?
Well, I think they know what they want to do without a trade offer for Tannehill. Hypothetically, if Rodgers came out of his black hole retreat and said, hey, I'm retired, what would the Jets do? They'd panic and they'd give you something. Again, like I'm just throwing out the hypothetical that did not happen. Based on the contract now and what you could do, here's the thing. I do view the Titans as one of the more unpredictable teams in the draft. Beyond just the fact that we don't know what Carthon will do, it also could include a quarterback. And I think it's worth at least discussing as we get down that path because of the money you can save on the cap with Tannehill. Again, just saying, I keep that option open because I really don't know what Carthon's thinking. And I would guess, and I think it's, it's an obvious point to make, that he's not hired unless he's in alignment with what Mike Vrabel is doing. And I've said this from day one with the discussion. Vrabel's not signing up for some rebuild in a losing season. And right now, currently, the best option to be competitive is with Tannehill and Henry in the backfield. So I think that's the path. It's also due in part to their cap structure. And if they really have the option to move up and get a quarterback that they love, so be it. Tannehill doesn't have to be here. And you can move forward with your quarterback of the future. But it's got to be the right guy at the right price. And it can't dictate what else you do to be competitive this season. Because, again, I don't think Vrabel's signing up to be the Houston Texans.
Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, appreciate you for joining us as always and excited for some upcoming renovations on the show coming soon.
Yes, thank you. Looking forward to the debut on Monday of that. And Willie, I'm headed to Madison Square Garden for the first time. I'm going up with Outkick and Fox tomorrow. If they win, I'll be there for the weekend. I love New York. I've been there a lot, but I've never been inside the garden, and I cannot wait for the Sweet 16.
Very unique. Very unique. You're going to like it. It's awesome. And you just stumble out of there and, walk in any direction, you'll find fun stuff going on. You'll be right in the middle of the action. It's very unique.
Awesome. I'll make sure that Chad is singing Sinatra.
Yeah, a little Sinatra will go a long way.
City's so nice, they named it twice. Safe travels, Hutton.
Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Hutton. Hutton hit on something that I think is really important. He hit on something that I think can maintain and preserve the Titans' competitiveness this year and also save the future in the next coming years. And let's discuss that coming up next. And, of course, your phone, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Billy, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Up front with the signing bonus and all the guaranteed money, you put that away in escrow, right? And again, it all circles back, I think, to a lot of the cash on hand. You have to have a minimum of in your bankroll of cash on hand just to, on an annual basis as a team. So it's not like they don't have enough money to operate. They certainly don't based on the stadium they're about to build. But I read it this way. They need to sign Jeffrey Simmons. And I think it's also a signal of the easiest guy to restructure right now is Ryan Tannehill. Or you cut him and you save $18 million immediately. But the reality is, I think I read it as they, to win, right now they keep Henry and Tannehill and they just eat the contracts this year because restructuring or any adjustments would just cost them potential cap space in the future. And if you're going to move on from these guys a year from now, you don't want to be handcuffed by their contracts after this year, but you do want Kevin Byard on your roster after this year. So you try to get him to take a pay cut and then restructure to keep him around. They have very little commitment to Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill after 2023. They have commitment.
This is where you can bite the bullet on those two.
You bite the bullet with two guys that can help you win now, or help you stay competitive now, and Byard is a part of your plan beyond this season as you begin to retool and rebuild the roster in this new Rand Carthon era where they are. And this is all, by the way, this is all necessitated by the fact that they have drafted so bad and they carry currently very few rookie contracts.
There you go. That was Outkick 360's Jonathan Hutton. And I think what he just laid out makes the most sense for the Titans in 2023. Right now, you're on the hook for Kevin Byard in 2023, but you don't have a long-term commitment for Byard. You're on the hook for Derrick Henry. You don't have a long-term commitment for Derrick Henry. Those are two players, while they do have a pretty hefty salary this season and are eating up a good bit of the cap, those are two players that can help you win right now. But you don't have a long-term, you know, connection to them. You don't have to be on the hook with them long term. Eat the salary now because you push the can down the line with both Derrick Henry and Kevin Byard over the last few years. Those were John Robinson's moves. You kicked it down, you kicked it down. Well, now it comes the day where those big cap hits are hitting. Go ahead and just eat it with Byard and Henry. Try and be as competitive as you possibly can while you're on the hook for them, and then move on from there. I think that makes the most sense, which has made me so confused as to why they have asked for Byard and Henry, or asked Byard to take a pay cut, shopping Derrick Henry. Those are two guys that are going to help you win right now, eat it now, and then move forward with a younger core beyond that.
I mean, I can see that happening. There's two different scenarios here for me. Because on one hand, I think the organization, when it comes to all three of those players, Byard, Henry, and Ryan Tannehill, more specifically, Henry and Byard, because those were their two draft picks. The emotional part is we want these guys to be Titans, period. We want to give them an opportunity to retire in a two-tone blue. That's the emotional side of it. And everybody's on board with that, even Ryan Tannehill to a certain extent. And everybody, I think, if you ask to a man or a woman, anybody that loves the Titans, you know, in regards to those two players, they would say from an emotional side, yeah, we would want to keep those guys. All right, put that to the side. That's the emotional side. Now, the business side of it is what Hutton said, and it's true. If you keep Derrick Henry and you keep Ryan Tannehill, that gives you an opportunity to continue to win as you put this team back together. This is the business side. It has nothing to do with the emotional side. Keeping those two, and even possibly reworking the deal of Ryan Tannehill and pushing it down the road, and allowing it not to cost you as much down the road. So when you're ready to make that transition, he can either become your backup or you can release him. And it may not cost you that much money to release him. So if you want to rework the deal with Ryan Tannehill, I think it's a little bit possibly easy, not a little bit easier, but if you want to stay competitive and you want to win as you're building this team, keep your quarterback. You got to look at it at the safety position or the corner position. Hell, we just saw Jalen Ramsey get traded from one team to the next, and he's considered a top three corner in this league. I think teams, and I could be wrong on this, teams, when you start to look at it, and you start to look at, okay, are we better with this guy or not with this guy? Are we a Super Bowl team with this guy or not with this guy? If they were to get rid of Beyer, which I don't want him to, I would love for him to retire a Titan because he's been that guy. I mean, after what he did last year when he chose to play and everybody, you know, guys were like, sitting out because of that game really didn't. That spoke volumes, at least for me as a former player. But also I look at it from this standpoint. Are you closer to a Super Bowl with him or without him right now as we speak? If you were to remove Kevin Byard from this team, does it make you significantly worse as a team when you still got Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill?
I don't think you're Super Bowl contenders either way.
That's what I'm saying. And that's how you got to look
at it.
That's
the question.
Exactly.
That's
how you got to look at it. Like, take the emotions out of it. Let's take the numbers out of it. As we start to sort of turn this team in a different direction and knowing where we want to be, and knowing that Vrabel is a good coach and he ain't signing up for losing, but are we going to win a championship with Beyer? If the answer is no, then okay, well, let's try to get something for him. Let's raise the cap. Let's lower the cap. Let's ask him to take a pay cut, whatever it is, so we can help the team, build the team. If Kevin Beyer was in his sixth season or fifth season, and he's been playing at the level he's playing at, yeah, you keep him because he's young enough and he's going to help you win as you bring in more guys. But at this stage, he's still a good player, but we've seen even with him on the field or without him on the field, this team, they are who they are at this point. They're not a Super Bowl contending team. They're not close. Without him, they're not close. To me, that's just me, and I'm taking the emotional side of it. If we want to keep the emotional side, then yes, keep him. If you want to go down that route, keep him. But you got to understand, when you keep him, does it put you closer to where you want to be as a team?
A year too early or a year too late.
That's just how I'm looking at it.
And that's fair. But the Titans aren't on the hook for Kevin Byard for five more years. I look at it like, let's say the Titans decide to cut Kevin Byard today. Mm-hmm. Why? What are they going to spend that money on?
Why not?
Because he
flexibility.
Can help
you it's flexibility
help you
for the coming years. It's flexibility for the coming years. That's what they have to wrestle with. That's why I asked the last question to Hutton the way I asked it. I just wonder when they go into work every day. Mm-hmm. These things are on the table. Mm-hmm. They haven't addressed. They don't have to make the choice today, but they have to figure out what their philosophy is. And some of it will be determined by the market. Like, do the Jets end up getting Aaron Rodgers? I mean, these are all things that have to fall into place. The draft is a big one. Mm-hmm. June 1st is a big one. But do they all feel confident? Do they have the same attitude? Like, on one hand, if I'm Mike Vrabel, he could be going in there every day and saying, I still think we could win the division.
Mm-hmm. Which I probably think
my
he
guys,
probably is saying.
Give me my guys, we'll win the division. Mm-hmm. We can still do it. And then you might have somebody else in there. I don't know who's who. It could be scouts. Mm-hmm. Say, guys, Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, Jackson. You know, let's do the math. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville's rising. Let's save and fight for another day. Let's build this roster back. Let's create cap space. Let's create flexibility. Both philosophies are probably have merit, mm-hmm. right? It's not out of the realm that they could win the division. They could do it. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen, right?
I don't think it's the craziest idea in the slightest.
Not at all. But also I think it has merit to say, do we take a step back to take some big steps forward and build a loaded roster, a more loaded roster, a deeper roster through the draft, through more cap space, eyeing 2026. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the middle could be the answer. I don't know. But I'm just wondering, is everybody in agreement over there of what they want to do? Or is there some disagreement? Because I wouldn't be surprised at all if we disagree. If they disagree, right?
Let's get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DMAs 1025-1063 the game. Hey, is your bracket busted? You can sign up and play the official 16-game bracket challenge brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports, and the Bluffs at Rocky Ridge. Enjoy the biggest and best views in the Nashville area from your dream acreage home site. Call now, 866-GET-LAND. Go to thenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app now. Pick up your teams for a chance to win tickets to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, April 15th. Unless we have thoughts?
Let's go to the phone.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. AG has been waiting patiently. What's up, AG?
Thank you. What's going on? Yeah, pay Derrick Henry, all right, cool. But Kevin Byard, that just sound like, I mean, his position is too dependent on the defensive line getting pressure for him to be successful. So, like, I just don't understand why, like, it's just such a big deal. The old GM brought him in and came over with that contract. We got a whole new GM looking at things now, and I think any new GM would look at that like, that's too much. That's all I got.
Yeah, thanks for your call, AG.
Let's remember this. A few years ago, you know, when Kevin Byard under – who was the – I don't know why I'm forgetting this – the defensive coordinator before the last two guys. Michigan State.
Before Shane Bowen.
He went to Atlanta with – he retired, went to Atlanta. Why am I forgetting his name?
Dean Pease.
Yeah, Dean Pease. When Dean Pease came in, that's when – things, I think, started to turn for Kevin Byard. And, you know, this he was playing. He started to really make a name for himself in this league within that defense. When Dean Pease left, I don't know if it was because of the defensive change. You know, Kevin Byard may have been hurt throughout the whole season. But his production dipped a lot from what it was in previous years. It dipped. And it started to rise back up again. Why? Kevin, I think, is a he's a borderline Hall of Fame player. He is. If he continues to, he's a borderline Hall of Fame player. But that caller was right in a sense of this. His stock started to raise a lot more because his job got not easier, but those guys on the front seven got better. Simmons got better. They brought in DeNico Autry. Harold Landry got better. Bud Dupree, when he was healthy, it was he played off of Harold Landry. You know, David Long Jr. started to make a name for himself. You see where I'm going with this? Those guys up front started to get a lot better. And we even started to say the cornerbacks look good. But then once they started having, you know, a little, you know, guys start getting injured, this and that and that and this. Then that secondary, which was good at first, it started to dip a little. Why? Because that defensive line wasn't getting, or they were so injured, they were not getting the pressure that they were normally getting. Now, those guys that they threw in Tier Tart, they did a fabulous job, wonderful job. But not having Harold Landry, Bud Dupree being in and out of the lineup, those on the back end did suffer. And Kevin played better this season than he had the prior season. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is this. When we look at the safety position, a lot of teams don't value it the way we all are talking about it. We love Kevin Byard, want him to retire, but I'm looking at it not from an emotional standpoint. I'm just looking at it for, you know, this team is moving in another direction. And if we believe that Vrabel is the coach he is, which I do, you do, Caroline, and I know, Willie, you do, and everybody on this station does, then this team is always going to remain competitive because who he is as a coach, and he's going to demand the best out of you. So whether they have Kevin Byard or not, this team is still going to be a gutsy fighting team that's going to compete week in and week out. But that's just what I believe.
You still need players.
You're going to have players.
The best coaches in the world can only coach up so much. I agree to a certain extent that as long as we got Vrabel, we're good. Mm-hmm. But we saw just how bad it can be when some of your top players go down this past year and the Titans lost 7 games in a row.
They still had Beyer, didn't they?
Mike Vrabel, there's only so much that Mike Vrabel can do.
They still had Beyer,
didn't
they?
So much that a safety can do whenever your starting quarterback is injured and Malik Willis is just running around all which way and throwing the ball away on fourth down.
They still haven't Kevin Beyer, didn't they? In the back
Kevin
end.
Beyer can't single-handedly win them games.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not the quarterback position. The quarterback position you look at totally different from everybody. From A.J. Brown to Kevin Beyer to anyone else, answer this question, and I want our callers to answer this question as well. If this team wasn't so injury-ridden this year, we know they don't have A.J. Brown, but if this team wasn't so injury-ridden this year, do we believe they win the AFC South?
Yes.
Okay. That's with or without A.J. Brown. That answer feeds further into what I'm saying. If Kevin Byers on this team or not on this team, if they are healthy, they're still going to win ball games. They're still going to be competitive. They're going to replace Kevin Beyer with somebody probably not at his level. Because you're not going to get somebody of Kevin Beyer level or higher and not pay him the money that Kevin Beyer wants. But if you choose to move away from Kevin Beyer, they're going to, we believe in Ryan Carthon, we believe in Mike Vrabel, they're going to get another safety that can come in and be disciplined, that plays within the system, that does the things the right way like Kevin Beyer does. May not have the talent of Kevin Beyer, but does the things the right way and keeps you in a position where you're going to be competitive. We're saying that it's not going to be the same. It's not, but it's not going to fall off the map either.
I just don't think the Titans are in the business or in the place right now to just give away good players. And that's exactly what they would be doing if they cut Kevin Byard. You would be cutting a foundational piece of this team.
Every team goes through it. They go through it.
Let's get to Jordan, who's up next. What's up, Jordan?
Hi.
Go ahead, Jordan.
Well, my thing is, all the NFL organizations are cheaters. They cheat players. So when Kevin Byard came to Tennessee, how old was he? And he has 4 years as a rookie contract, making that money, right? 4 years. So he got signed because he did his work. Now he's going to be 30-something, as you guys mentioned, and he's too old. So when do players start making real money? That is money. Now, you guys are saying, oh, he needs to take a pay cut. I don't understand it, you know, because unless they come to the NFL, sign them with good money if they're good players. Don't use them. He played for 4 years making less money, and then he did his job, and now he got paid. Now he's making more. When do they have to make the money? When they're in there, what, 21 years old or 19?
Fair point, Jordan. Thank you for your call, Jordan. Make a fair point.
No, he's right in a sense. Yeah,
it's hard to grasp.
What more can you do?
Yeah.
What more could Kevin Beyer do other than
it's hard to grasp
it,
but this happens to a lot of teams and a lot of players.
Kevin isn't the first person, and it won't be the last person.
No, he's not. But who are you going to bring in to replace Kevin Beyer?
It's not about, again, it's not about replacing him. It's about, you know, bringing in someone that can get the job done at a level that is satisfactory to you and your team. When you got to replace, you know, you can't replace a Aaron Rodgers. He's Aaron Rodgers. You can't replace a Peyton Manning, even though they damn near almost with Andrew Luck. But you can't replace a Peyton Manning. He's Peyton Manning. You can't replace a Tom Brady. Tom Brady, those are great players, good to great players. You're not trying to replace Kevin Beyer. What you're trying to do is get younger, get a little bit cheaper, and get majority of the production. You may not get all of the production. You you want some of the production that Kevin Byer was giving you. And you hope, if it's a young player, that he grows into a Kevin Byer. Because remember, they had to replace safety before Kevin Byer. They had to replace a safety before, you know, Michael Griffin. You know, they had to replace a Blaine Bishop. When they were trying to, well, who? Eventually, you're going to have to replace everybody.
Yes, you can't hold on to Kevin Byard forever. But if you are going to replace Kevin Byard with a safety that you hope turns into Kevin Byard, why lose Kevin Byard for nothing? You're not going to be able to keep him forever. He's not going to play football forever. I understand that. But why part ways with him when you don't necessarily need to?
I'm not saying cut him. If you can trade him, trade him. I mean, but then if you feel you need to relieve yourself of some cap space, whatever it may be, then, like I said earlier when Hutton was on, if you want to do the player a favor, you don't want to give him all the money, or you want to have pay cut or whatever, but if you want to do him a favor, you cut him early enough or release him early enough to where he can still potentially get the money that he was going to make this year. $13 million. Somebody may give him $13 million for the year without a signing bonus, and the signing bonus is just something added on. But there's other teams. I would beg to believe that if the Titans were to release him or whatnot, he would go to another team, and he would probably make, depending on who that team was, he would probably make in base salary, I don't know, maybe $10 million, somewhere around there, and then they'd give him some money in the signing bonus. Or he'd make a little bit less, and they'd give him the money in the signing bonus, so it equals up to what he was going to potentially make here for the Tennessee Titans. I can see him taking that deal, because you don't want to take a deal, you know, if you can help it, you don't want to take a deal that's paying you much less than what you would have made here. You know, so if you go to another team and they want to pay you, you know, seven or eight to sign, well, you come out on a better end, because now you're making more, you know, with a signing bonus and a base salary than you would have made with the Tennessee Titans. Now, that's not factoring taxes and all that other stuff, but I'm just saying.
Not fun stuff. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. Not fun stuff, but I'm just saying, based upon, you know, the salary for the year, you know, so you're getting it both. You're getting it from a base salary and a signing bonus, you know, angle.
Let's get Tim Hasselbeck's thoughts on it. He will join us coming up next. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, Caroline Willie-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.